grateful for every man, woman, and child assembled here today. It's good to see all of your wonderful faces. There is no better place to be than in the assembly of God. We extend a special thanks to any who may be visiting. Please do not refrain from approaching us about anything that's said here or that is done here, especially if you are seeking God. You have come to the right place. Please let us study with you at any time that is convenient for you. We're so grateful that you're here. Our passage this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse number 8. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You see, it is a great thing to become a Christian because you have assurance from God that as long as you are faithful unto death, God will keep his promise and give you the crown of life. But that does not mean that you do not have an adversary, someone whom I would liken to a gate blocker. He tries to block you from entering the gates of heaven. He has an agenda that is unrighteous. His agenda is to cause you not to be closer to God, to hinder you from being close to your fellow brethren. And so we must safeguard against his attacks, because he is alive and doing his evil works. I believe I can prove from the Bible that this adversary of God will visit you at some point. I say that because he even had the audacity to approach deity and try and cause problems. In Job chapter 1 and 2, he approaches God and tries to incite God against Job. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10, the Bible teaches that this accuser, he accuses the brethren day and night, trying to hinder us from entering the gates. He asks for Peter, but Jesus said in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 and 32, and there Jesus said to Peter, Satan has asked for you that he might sift you like wheat. He even approached Jesus, the Son of God. In Luke chapter 4, he approached Jesus and attempted to tempt him into falling. And Jesus defeated him with it is written, it is written, it is written. But go over to Luke chapter 4. There's a bit of information we need to learn about the adversary if we're going to be ready for his attacks. Bible says over there in Luke chapter 4 and verse 13. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. You see, he was coming back. He likes to make frequent visits to the saints even. To even deceive, to try and deceive even the very elect. and the chosen of God, he will. And therefore, the lesson is titled this morning, A Visitor is Coming. A visitor is coming. So, what do we need to do to be ready for the unwanted visitors? You know, we get visitors. Oftentimes, we get visitors, and they're wanted visitors. You know, sometimes we have family and friends coming by, and oh, we get so excited because they're coming. We clean up the house because they come in. And you know that old room, that room we don't use no more, where we put all the stuff in there? You know, like the exercise equipment we don't use no more, and we throw clothes on that? No, and we, you know, we get all that stuff cleaned up. And then we go out and we buy extra food. Amen. And when they're coming, and we think we hear the car drive up, we pull the curtain back constantly looking for them because they're wanted. But then there's unwanted visitors. With unwanted visitors, we don't pull the curtain all the way back. We kind of peep it back just enough that they don't see it. And if you're living in an apartment, you got that little peephole, you know, and you know, you don't open the door when it's someone that's not welcome there. Well, this visitor is coming, whether you want it or not. And we have got to be prepared as Christians for his attack. So the first thing you're going to need something to put on. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. What do we need to be prepared for the unwanted visitor? Go over to Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. He say, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. I'm coming back to that. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You're going to need an armor. You see, the first century Christians understood this analogy because Roman soldiers basically wore this kind of armor. They would gird themselves or wrap around themselves a belt. And you'll notice even in today's time, you know, police officers, military people, they always have that thing strapped around their waist, that belt where they put the gun in the holster and the radios and all those things go in there. And so it was essential, the belt, during battle. But what does that have to do with the Christian? He said, gird yourself, or wrap around yourself the belt of truth. What is truth? Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17. And Jesus said to those Jews who believe, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 8, 31 and 32. You see, truth is that which is according to God. In our society today, truth has become subjective, hasn't it? Someone say, well, what is truth to you? And what is truth to you? And tell me your opinion and how you feel. Well, according to Bible teaching, Christians are not prepared for the attacks if we're not holding on to God's word. Many fall by the wayside because they refuse to hold to truth. But he also talks about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. You see, the Roman soldier put on this breastplate because it protected the most vital organs. You know, if somebody stick you in the arm and the leg, you might live. But they start puncturing those vital organs, the heart, lungs, they start puncturing that stuff, you may not make it. So they had that breastplate of righteousness. I recall 2 Timothy chapter 3. Very quickly there, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Please be turning there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, righteousness is that which is right in the eyes of God. We have to be careful with that in our society because everybody's talking about their rights, aren't they? I have a right to do this. I have a right to have an abortion. I have a right to be a homosexual. I have a right to look at my transgender issue and have those things respected. I have a right. I have a right. I have a right. You know, I work in the criminal justice system. I'm telling you, man, everybody's suing everybody. People suing their mom, dad, grandparents. You know, I mean, you got lawyers on the corners like the 7-Elevens. You know, because everybody talking about their rights. But folks, one thing we have to understand is that we will not be judged by the Constitution of the United States. We will be judged by the Word of God. Amen. John 12:48. Jesus said, those who reject me and my words have the same words that will judge them in the last day. But he goes on to talk about some other things that we're going to need. You're going to have to shod your feet with the gospel of peace. Shod your feet with the gospel of peace. You know, when you put on these spiritual shoes, we need to walk to the right place, right? We don't put these on and walk to the liquor store. We don't put these on and go walking to adultery or fornication or to places that we ought not be. Paul said, when you put them on in Ephesians 5, he said, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time for the days of evil. We need to shod our feet with the gospel of peace. And above all, taking a shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Above all, he said, take up the shield of faith. What is that? The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is something that without it, it is impossible to please God. Ever wonder why? You must believe that God is God and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I remember the old, anybody ever see the old cartoons of Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner? You know, Wile E. Coyote be chasing Roadrunner. He'd get out there on that cliff and he'd get off the cliff, you see, and he'd walk in on thin air, you know. And as long as he believed he could walk on it, he was fine. But the minute he looked down and saw it, there he went. That really happened in the Bible. Peter walked on water. By faith, he walked on water because his eyes were on the Lord and he trusted in him. But the moment he took his eyes off of the Lord and the winds became boisterous, he began to sink. How many times in our lives do we get hit by the fiery darts? And we become discouraged and we become downhearted. I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe it's trouble in your marriage. With your children, you know, I don't know, maybe problems at work. Perhaps, you know, you're in a home, a rest home or something, and you feel lonely sometimes. You feel abandoned and then no one cares. Friend, let me tell you something. God is faithful. God is faithful to those who are faithful to him. And in those times when you get down and discouraged, never forget this. Jesus said, nothing is impossible with God. God can do anything he wants to do. Do you believe that? God is able to bring you through whatever you're going through, whatever discouragement and hardships there are. See, the adversary wants you to get discouraged and quit and feel like we're just not going to make it. Oh, this is over and all of that. But we must remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul said, whether abased or abound, I will be content. Whether they take my life, in other words, whether they hurt me, I'm still content because I know that Jesus can bring me through anything. We must believe that. But he goes on to say, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, this is the only weapon we fight with. We're not talking about a carnal warfare. We're talking about spiritual. And this is the only sword we need to fight the adversary of God. So why is it? Why is it that so many fail to recognize him? We're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, let me tell you some other things you're going to need. You're going to need the armor, but you're going to need something else. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. Are we going to need something else? I'm talking to Drew too up here. But in Jeremiah chapter 15, beginning in verse 16, Jeremiah said, your words were found, and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by your name. You're going to need some spiritual food to get ready for the adversary. You know, Peter said we ought to desire the sincere milk of the word, 1 Peter 2 in there. We ought to desire the sincere milk, he said, of the word. And in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, he said, they will be filled. But sometimes Christians even are eating that old so-called spiritual junk food diet. Philosophy of man. Psychology of man. Ideology of man. And allow themselves to be ruled by that. Well, that's not going to prepare you for the adversary. What that does is it makes you weak and it makes you sick. Because that's not the kind of food. How do you think Jesus defeated him at his most difficult time as far as physical hunger? Because spiritually, he was well fed. We need to have a balanced diet of God's word. What I mean by balanced diet? Not too much, don't add to what he say, and not too little, don't take away from his word. A balanced diet of God's word. So back to that question. Why is it that so many fail to recognize him, the adversary? Paul tells us it's no wonder. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14, Paul said it's no wonder. For he can transform himself into an angel of light. It's no wonder, because he takes on, you know, if the devil popped in here like the television got him and the movies, if he popped in here with the horns and the tail and the fork, oh, you take off running. If he showed himself in some true form or some obvious sin, he knowed you get out of there. Before it was too late. No, he may take the form of an appealing woman hitting on you, knowing that you're married and don't really care. Or some guy who says, you know, some appealing man who says, you know, I know you're having marital problems. Why don't we go out to lunch and let me hear about your problems? For young people, he might take the form of peer pressure. Friends talking you into doing drugs, drinking alcohol, doing things that you ought not. Taking part in sexual promiscuity and things that you know in your heart of hearts is evil. But you fall to the pressure. For older young people, he takes the form of some brilliant college professor that everybody likes, but he's telling you there is no God. He takes many forms, even in the church. In the church, he takes the form of lukewarmness, compromise, attitudes of indifference. Because once again, he knows that if he comes at you with something that's obviously wrong, you're going to catch that. Anybody familiar with the frog in the water story? I'll tell it for the sake of those who've never heard it. You know, they say if you put a frog in scalding hot water, he'll jump right out of there. But if you put him in some cold water and turn it up slowly, he'll stay in there until he boils to death. That's what's happening to a lot of churches all over the world. Jesus confronted Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3 about that lukewarmness. And he says, I spit you out of my mouth. I take that as you make me sick. Why? Because you're indifferent. You're not hot. You're not cold. You don't take a stance one way or the other. There's an old saying that if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. But they were comfortable and complacent in their wealth. And they trusted in that. And they allow things to happen there in the church. And God and Jesus said, you know, I don't want that. Sometimes he takes the form of compromise, as he did with Pergamos. You know, Antipas, a martyr, was killed for the faith. I find it interesting that the Lord acknowledged that. He said, I know everybody's there, not caught up. But some of you have decided, I'm paraphrasing, to compromise because there's someone there teaching a doctrine of the Nicolaitans, of which I hate that doctrine. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 15. He said, I hate that, but yet you tolerate it. He takes the form of indifference because it's quiet and it's subtle and it's a whisper. And before you know it, years go by, and you're so far out on a limb, you're wondering how you got there. Let me tell you how a lot of denominationalism and liberalism gets started. It starts out with a mild statement of, you know what? We'll never see the Bible alike. We will never agree on everything, you know, on doctrinal issues in the Bible. We'll never agree. But folks, I'm here to tell you that's a lie. That's a lie. Let me prove it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Paul said, I beg you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you all speak the same thing. And that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. See, that's God's goal. He wants that unity. He don't want that division. He wants everybody together. And I'll say this, folks. God does not ask us to do things that we cannot do. He won't ask you to make the moon and the stars and the sun. He knows you can't do that. And I can't do that. But when God requires that we obey the gospel and stay faithful, is because he knows we can do it. So, how is that accomplished? How in the world do you bring the world together on religion? Well, God's got an answer for that too. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, there's a right way to divide the word of truth, and there's a wrong way. I can take certain passages in the Bible and make them say whatever I want them to. But if you take other passages that refutes that conclusion, then I've drawn the wrong conclusion. We are called by God to study diligently. See, what the adversary don't want you to know is, folks, it's not intended to be easy. Does that shock you? Matthew 7, 13, 14, Jesus said what? Narrow, difficult is the way. The broad way, many go therein. Why? It's the road of least resistance. See, what happens a lot of time in the religious world is people just don't want to study God's word. Well, I don't have time for that. We just don't have time to do all of that. Especially in our society, in the microwave it, give it to me now, drive through. I want what I want when I want it. Society. We used to get what we want. Quick. But I got news for you. God's word is not drive through. Amen. God's word is not fast food. It takes time. And when brethren come together and study God's word, we can see things alike. Here's the danger that a lot of denominations don't know they're caught up in. You see, the reason why we want to safeguard against those kind of things is because sometimes God gets fed up. And he sends people a strong delusion. Read this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11 in your own time. Write that down if you're writing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. If we refuse to accept truth, after a while, God gets to a point where he just says, okay, and he sends a strong delusion, and you'll start believing that lie. That's the danger, and then God will condemn us for believing that lie because we rejected the truth. Let me give you an example. Ever talk to somebody in a denomination or liberal church or whatever, and you try to show them, you say, see, he that believeth and is baptized, and they look right at it and go, yes, but I don't see that. That's somebody who got that strong delusion. They don't believe anymore, if they ever did. A lot of those guys like Max Lucado, Reuben Shelley, those guys who used to be sound, that stuff didn't happen overnight. It's like the fish in the water, one scripture at a time. They start disregarding studying God's word. When I was doing full-time evangelistic work, I interviewed at many congregations for work. And several times I was told by people, if you are permitted to come to this congregation, don't speak on this chapter. Stay away from that verse. We don't want that book taught in here, because it caused too many problems in this church. Folks, my response to that is this. God's word ain't never the problem. God's word is the solution. And anytime we get to a point we start barricading and blocking and getting rid of God's word, that's self-pleasing. That's people-pleasing. That's from the adversary. That stuff ain't never from God. And so working, God wants us getting after it. Let me continue to prove that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul said, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. He said, prove it. Once again, I work in the criminal justice business. You know, sometimes these detectives, they work day and night gathering evidence, trying to get enough evidence to prove a case. And it takes a lot of work to do that. Hours and hours and hours. And sometimes, once again, we get so bogged down in this world's troubles that we just don't have time. to open God's word, but we got to study and put things to the test. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, John said, beloved, don't believe every spirit, but test them. There's some more work for you. Test them whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. We're required by God to put things to the test. You know, you might say, you're a nice guy. You know, Drew, I like you. You know, you wearing a nice suit. I like your new haircut. I hope y'all notice my new haircut. You know, you got a nice haircut. And you know what, Drew? That's enough. I don't really need to go check it. Let me tell you something, friend. You need to test everything I say this morning. You need to check it. And if I ever take the attitude that you can't test me, then I'm in the wrong. When Peter was confronted by Paul in Galatians 2, he doesn't hop off. How dare you? How dare you address me? I'm an apostle. No, he heard the rebuke. And in his dying letter, Peter said, according to the wisdom that was given to our beloved brother Paul. Why did he say that? Because that man snatched him out the fire. We need to always remain open. You see, that's God's way of keeping everybody honest. That's God's way of keeping us all honest. We lovingly need to always test whatever we're taught. And if somebody's saying they can't prove it, then they shouldn't be teaching it. All those things need to be proven by God. In those times, there come times when we have to do that. And we must do it in the right manner and in a way that is pleasing to God. With the spirit of humility, I approach my brother. In a spirit of meekness and fear, I say to him or her, we must obey God, and I have a concern for your soul, Brother Drew. And by the way, feel free to always let me know if I'm wrong or not. Hell is too hot and too long for me to be wrong. I want somebody to come and show me where I'm wrong. May I never take the attitude that I can't be challenged about what I say. You see, folks, that's the way Satan gets his foot into the door of the church a lot of times. It's because it's not this big overt monster, this big obvious monster. It's just a subtle whisper of compromise and lukewarmness. And before you know it, you're not even following any doctrine anymore. Perhaps you're not a member of the Lord's church. Let me talk to you for a moment if you're not a member. There is only one God. And we can prove that from the scriptures. By default, if that God is, if you have not obeyed that one and only God, then you have no protection regarding your eternal life. And I'm not trying to be disturbing, but I say this in the most loving way, that the devil is in your life and he's in your house. Let's get him out this morning. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. After hearing the word of God, you must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You must repent of past sins. That means turn away from wrongdoing in the world. And I have news for you. The adversary of God, he doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to keep on doing those wrong things because he knows if you keep doing that, he got you. Don't give him that. Repent of your past sins. Confess Christ with your mouth to be the Son of God and be baptized into Christ's body, washing away your sins. Remain faithful until death, and God will keep his promise and give you the crown of life. Perhaps you have strayed away from the faith. You found yourself drifting back out there into troubled waters of sin. You can also fix that tonight. Perhaps today, perhaps you were pricked somehow. You recognize that you've allowed the adversary of God to come back in your life, in your house, and even allowed him to enter the Lord's church. Let's make that right. You know what to do. Confess your sins and repent and come back to the Lord. But whatever your need may be, please make it known as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Is this for me? Is there a Savior?